Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the appetizer to your Thanksgiving. The one, the only wrestling show on the internet that features the Oracle, me, Josh McCain, and my partner, Nelson Saison. And what show is that, Nelson?
Armbar!
Yeah, the show's coming to you a day early because of the Thanksgiving holiday. Because, well, we're traveling, we're seeing friends and family, so we're not going to be able to record it tomorrow night. So we are watching SmackDown as it goes on. And mostly this is just going to be a recap show of Survivor Series. And I got to say, overall, Nelson, you know, before we, like, delve deep into the matches, I have to say Survivor Series is very entertaining. I would give it a solid B+.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty good.
We'll get into more detail. I didn't like some of the finishes to the matches. And when I say finishes, I don't mean the result of the match. I mean the way the match ended, per se. But I was thoroughly entertained by it, especially the men's Raw vs. SmackDown Survivor Series match.
Oh, yeah, that was
also the Goldberg squashing
of
Brock Lesnar.
That's a very polarizing event, as it were. I thought it was friggin' hilarious because, as you know, I've never really been that big of a Brock Lesnar fan. Yes.
But what I found nice about that is that the internet overreacted at first, but then what I noticed like a day later, people came to terms with it and it's like, you know what? That was unexpected. That was different. And, you know, because of it, we're getting Goldberg a little bit longer.
So oh, yeah, exactly.
We'll delve into that. But first, this isn't going to be an order. This is just the order we wrote it down. And so that's the order we're going to go in. First up, we're going to do the Cruiserweight match, which we both we both were wrong. We both thought Kalisto was going to win. And he did not. He lost via disqualification because Baron Corbin came in and ruined what was a pretty entertaining match.
Yeah.
Again, this was one of those matches where the end result didn't bother us, you know, with Kendrick winning.
Yeah.
But the finish of how Kendrick won was irritating. Because if Baron Corbin would have just, you know, punched Kalisto and cost him the match and Kendrick won by pinfall or submission or something like that,
yeah,
I'd have been fine with it. But the fact that Corbin came in and knocked out Kendrick and then knocked out Kalisto, that was just a shitty way to end it.
Yeah.
Because it basically ended in a no contest, which is basically what it was, like, in the record books, as they say.
Yeah.
Kendrick gets the victory, but it was literally a no contest, and it was annoying. I did like how we saw Daniel Bryan rip him a new one backstage, and since I've missed the first hour of SmackDown...
Oh, his punishment. His punishment is he's facing Kane tonight.
That's a shit punishment.
It is. Because if it was Kane from 1998, yeah, that's a punishment. It's Kane from 2016.
His punishment should be facing The Undertaker.
Yes. Actually, that'd be cool if The Undertaker comes out.
That'd be great. He's like, oh, dead man.
Choke slam.
You cost us the Cruiserweight. Choke slam, tombstone. So, no, that was an entertaining match.
They're not doing any favors to Baron Corbin.
Not doing any favors to any, the Cruiserweights because they got to travel between two shows now because 205 Live films after SmackDown, which also is not a favor to the Cruiserweights because I am borderline going to tribute for the troops SmackDown show when it's here in DC mid-December.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't decided yet if I'm going or not. I probably am, but I'm not. Even though I'm probably taking the next day off from work, I doubt I'm staying for 205 Live.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Are they, or where are they? Are they in Verizon? Or are they
Verizon
in
Center, yeah.
If it was the Patriot Center, then it might be doable.
And that's the thing is, if it was before SmackDown, I'd have no problem getting there early to see it.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm there for SmackDown. And, you know, I may or may not stay for it, but I'm leaning towards I'm probably not going to stay for it.
I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah.
Honestly. It's like, it's one of those things where you're like, once you get toward the end of the show, you're debating whether or not you're staying for the last segment or the dark match or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's because, you know, you're tired by the end of that.
Exactly.
Thankfully, because, it's not a Raw.
Yeah, because it's a work day for me, so I'll be at work all day.
Yeah.
And I'll just, because I work by the Verizon Center, I'll just walk over there after work and go see the match.
I kind of wish I still worked by the Verizon Center. I'd literally have to cross the street.
Yeah, I have to walk up like three blocks. Something.
Yeah,
like
that's nothing.
No, it'd be great if you still worked up there, because then we could meet up, have a few drinks beforehand, get properly fucked up, and go in and
avoid the McDonald's where there was a shooting.
No, you can't avoid that because it's in the Verizon Center, basically.
Very true.
But
I just go to the Green Turtle.
Yep, that's where I go to the Green Turtle or this Irish pub before Caps games, and get properly toasted before the game, because I never have to drive home from those.
Indeed.
So I can drink all I want. What do you want, dog?
She wants love.
At least you're not noisy like
last time,
Mr. Sunday's dog for that podcast. Yeah. That dog's always making noise. You're just quiet and begging for love. So, yeah, a good match, terrible finish, which brings us to the next match on our list, Miz versus Sami Zayn, which was the difference maker in our thing, you won by one. This was basically the difference maker. You picked the Miz, I picked Sami Zayn.
I won by one?
Yeah, I think
when you did you come back? No, I called the first three matches.
No, tag match I won, the tag Survivor Series.
That's right. Okay, I forgot about that one, yeah.
But we'll get to that.
Blocked out the ending because I was pissed.
But Sami Zayn should have won that match because the Miz should have gotten disqualified for what his wife did.
Yeah,
that should have been a disqualification.
Automatic effect. Disqualification.
Yeah. So technically, I should have won.
You should have, but you didn't.
The Miz key, I felt my prediction, this is why I should be like head of creative for WWE. I felt my prediction was better. Sami Zayn going over clean over the Miz and then saying everybody wanted me versus Ziggler. Let's do it. And then Ziggler wins, Sami gets fired, rehired by SmackDown.
And you know what? Given how the pay-per-view went, there was enough time for that.
There was more than enough time for that. The pay-per-view, because usually like pay-per-views go, they end between 10:45 and 11. That ended at 10:26. We had a good 20 minutes we could have filled with Sami versus Ziggler. Just saying, WWE, why am I not the head of creative?
For me, that was a wash because I got to go to sleep early.
See, I didn't because I watched the Redskins game.
Yeah.
And then it was such a beatdown we gave Green Bay that I watched the highlights afterwards.
Oh, did you really?
Because fuck Aaron Rodgers. He's a douchebag. I used to like him. But ever since he's been dating Olivia Munn, which also further makes me believe that she's a cunt, is that he hasn't spoken to his parents in like 2 years.
Really?
Yeah. He makes them buy tickets to games if they want to come see him play. And rumor has it last Christmas, like this was according to one of his teammates, he sent their Christmas gifts back that his parents bought for him and Olivia Munn. Wow. I'm hanging that all on her.
I don't understand. Why. Is there even a reason? Was there a falling out?
No. There's been, like, no reason. Apparently, he's a prick. Like, he only speaks to, like, half his teammates and shit like that. Like, he has no repertoire with his tight end, which, if you know anything about football, that's your safety blanket as a quarterback. That should be your best fucking friend. He usually gets you out of trouble. But, yeah, he, like, still texts with this player who was, like, a third stringer who got cut, like, 3 years ago. Mm. So, apparently, like, he's, like, selective on who his friends are and shit like that.
That makes me sad for one reason. I really like that commercial with him and Clay Matthews.
I can almost get, like, I even thought that when I watched the commercial. I can guarantee him and Clay Matthews don't hang out.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Well, I can like that commercial for Clay Matthews.
As you should, because Clay Matthews is a gem and a gift and didn't do shit against the Redskins. We blocked his ass. But the best part of that, and I know we're getting off topic because we're not the sports guys. That's our fellow folks, Pay Me No Mind, and Going for Two with their stuff. Get down, dog. You're being too squirmy. But there's this one play towards basically the touchdown that sealed the victory for the Redskins, even though the Redskins were going to win at this point.
Yeah.
Packers had 10 guys on the field. Like, a backup linebacker comes sprinting onto the field just so they have 11 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, when the ball snapped, Morgan Moses, the tackle for the Redskins, literally tosses his ass aside like fucking Braun Strowman to
Ellsworth.
Like how I brought that back, fans. That's called a transition. But yeah, he just tossed his ass aside. And the headline on Deadspin, they were showing a GIF for that.
Yeah.
The headline for that was, the moment when you realize you should have just stayed on the sideline.
That's what that was for. Okay, I got you. Oh, now they got the Hype Bros.
Black Friday's coming.
Selling shit.
Oh, yeah, they're doing a deal every day for the holidays. That's where I got my... Because I didn't buy one down in at WrestleMania because they were too damn expensive.
Hey, look, that looks familiar. Hey, that's your belt.
Yeah. But I did end up eventually getting my WrestleMania 32 hoodie because it was only $15 today on that. And I also, because I felt impulsive, I threw in a Finn Balor ornament for my Christmas tree because in the new house, ladies and gentlemen, I've got 15 or 20 foot ceilings. And so I bought a 12-foot tree going from a 7-foot tree. That extra 5 feet in height and diameter and width and everything like that, I don't have nearly enough ornaments. I got to start buying more. So I got that. And then because I didn't get to get it at WrestleMania because I only had carry-on bags,
yeah,
I ordered some JR's barbecue sauce.
Yes.
Because I was so disappointed when I saw they were selling that at the superstore. I was like, yes. And I had it in my hands like, shit, I don't have, I only have carry-on luggage. I can't take this back with me because it's liquid. So I did get his jerky down there. That was tasty. But I ordered a thing of barbecue sauce.
Nice.
So I can't wait to try it out.
Yeah, I hear it's good.
As you know me, I'm a barbecue sauce fiend. I'm a connoisseur, as they say, of barbecue sauce.
As it were.
Yeah. But I'm not a fan of Carolina barbecue. Never been a fan of it. It's too runny. It's not that good.
Isn't that the one that's more vinegary, too?
Yeah. I like the thick barbecue sauce. The Kansas City barbecue sauce, as they say.
Indubitably.
But yeah, so... We got carried away. The Miz and Sammy. Disappointed in that ending because I really wanted to see the Ziggler-Sammy match. But also going into Raw, because we're not going to do too much of a recap on Raw, but why was Sami Zayn punished? And by Mick Foley, of all people. Because he didn't technically lose that match. He had the figure four locked in there, the bell rings.
I think that was more Stephanie McMahon pushing... for him to be punished because he did not bring the...
He still didn't properly lose. He shouldn't have been punished. I know. But none of the Raw guys who lost clean...
Yeah.
...got punished. That was bullshit when she said she was going to fire them all. And Mick was the one who handed down the punishment.
Yeah.
His punishment should have been, if you were going to punish him at all, it was like, Sam, we ain't got any match for you tonight. Go home. Instead, they feed him to Braun Strowman. That was bull... And where's Braun Strowman's punishment? He got eliminated by Ellsworth.
Yeah, of all people.
I know. Inconsistent. That's why, God, Raw, you suck. With Finn Balor out, dude, I have almost little want to watch Raw. The only thing entertaining last night's Raw was when we thought Kevin Owens and Jericho were going to break up, and they pulled the wool over our eyes and got back together.
It's like Roman Reigns.
That shit was hilarious.
That was pretty funny.
But yeah, I've decided I don't like seeing. Well, I've never liked seeing Stephanie on TV. And I've never been a big Mick Foley fan. I appreciate what he did in the ring. I don't like him as a TV personality. I've never liked Foley. I liked Mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Cactus Jack was okay. Hated Dude Love.
Yeah, but Dude Love was not really the favorite. I know.
I've never liked Mick Foley, though.
Mm.
I don't know. I want to clarify this. As a person, Mick Foley seems like the salt of the earth. I probably would get along fine with Mick Foley the person. But Mick Foley, the character on TV, never been a fan of.
Hmm.
I loved Mankind, though. Mankind was fantastic. But yeah, just the Mick Foley, have a nice day. Not the, have a nice day, creepy ass from Mankind, but have a nice day, Mick Foley, just not a big fan of it.
Hmm. I don't hate it, but it's definitely not my favorite.
And I do not like him as the GM at all. I really felt Steph should have gotten the heel GM. I would have liked that more.
I don't know who she would have gotten, though, is the only thing. I'm sure she could have pulled someone out, but...
Shit, you already got him managing Brock, fucking Heyman.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, that probably would have worked, but I don't know what...
Bring back Bischoff. I'm back!
That would have been a coup.
And better than ever!
Though, the only thing I can say about Eric Bischoff as a character was, toward the end of his run... I could not stand
it. He's just reining it in. Just reining it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Or.
Because, like, it wasn't the way he was acting. It was just, he got really stale.
Or if we want to get rid of Foley by the Rumble, we do know a guy in D.C. who needs a job come January 21st. Do you smell what Barack is cooking?
As a heel GM.
That'd be great, actually.
Oh, man.
How brilliant would that be? Granted, it's never going to happen.
No. I don't even know how they got just a recorded video for him during the inauguration. Well, not inauguration, the running for the seat or the nomination.
Yeah, that was just pandering because Hillary did it, John McCain did it. I think Mitt Romney did it too. They're all just pandering to that crowd.
Wait, did they go back for that election?
Yeah, the 2008 election. That's when Barack Obama.
No, was Mitt Romney a part of that?
Yeah, he was running for the nomination. He lost.
And then he went again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just like Hillary lost to Barack.
I did not realize he might run for that nomination.
He might not have been on the Raw episode. I know there was two Republicans. I want to say Romney was the other one. Because I think he was the only one who really challenged McCain. But that was
2008.
That's 8 years ago.
Yeah, I don't remember. All I know is they did the obvious thing and used the Rock's theme song for Barack Obama.
Yeah,
which, you know, I would have done it.
I can't blame him. Yeah. And it was perfect. You smell what Barack is cooking.
Yeah, exactly. All right, back to wrestling.
Technically, it's still wrestling what we're talking about.
Back to actual wrestling, not Donald Trump land.
Next up, the tag match. The tag Survivor Series match. Raw vs. SmackDown with Kofi Kingston being a surprise quick elimination. Which made it hilarious because he tweeted at Brock Lesnar, "Don't worry about losing so quickly. I know what that feels like."
Damn, near the same thing happened to me earlier. I was like, what?
That was great. Kofi's awesome. Well, remember when Kofi freaking tweeted me back when we found that Kofi Kingston
figure?
Oh,
yeah, with the creepy face.
With the creepy eyes. Yeah. And I was like, what the hell is going on with your figure, Kofi Kingston? And he's like, I see you.
That was hilarious.
That was great. Because I honestly didn't expect a tweet back from that.
I think he just busted out laughing.
Probably, because that figure's hilarious looking. And
hilarious
so,
and scary.
Yeah, so I just tweeted it out that I was like, I'll tag him in it. Doubt he'll see it.
Yeah.
But I'll tag him in it anyways. And he saw it and he had a great reply.
That was hilarious.
I do like that. Like, just like back before Jericho got really popular on Twitter, because he was popular regardless, but before he got really popular on Twitter, I used to go back and forth with him all the time on Twitter. That was a lot of fun.
I liked it when Titus O'Neil was messaging you.
Titus O'Neil still follows me. Yeah, me and Titus O'Neil used to go back and forth too.
Yeah, and he wished Sean a happy birthday.
Yep. Yeah, well, Jericho did too.
Oh, Jericho did too? Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
you don't hear from him nowadays when he's hanging out with his best friend.
Yeah. Well, their Twitter's so big and blown up anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Like, mine probably just get lost in the shuffle. Like, Titus O'Neil, I started following almost immediately just because it was suggested. So I was like, quick follow. And he followed me back. I was like, all right, him and Darren Young.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of cool. And then, like, as far as wrestlers go for Twitter, I've had CM Punk favorite one of my tweets.
All I've had was a reply from Kevin Nash over the most random
comic
thing.
Was it the comic book?
No, it wasn't the comic
book. No, the comic book. Yeah, you tried to get him on the comic book.
Yeah, he wouldn't. I found a copy, the first issue of the Kevin Nash comic book. It was not very good, but it was. But I couldn't get a reply or nothing. But you know what I got a reply on, fans? I started talking to him about that show that was on NBC called Smash. That was the most random two-tweet conversation ever. Because I was like, you watch Smash? Yeah, man. I was like, okay. That's pretty much how it went down.
That is funny when you get the most random tweets from people you follow who are celebrities.
You kind of forget that they're people.
Yeah.
And they will watch the most random things. Like,
well, it's not even that you forget that they're people. You just feel like you're an ant. And you're like, hey, look at that. They didn't stomp on me.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, it was so random. Yes, Kevin Nash likes that show Smash. I don't know if he watched it to the end because I don't think it's on anymore. But yeah, that was entertaining.
So yeah, let's get back to the tag team thing. Yeah. So Raw won. That was kind of a blur. Like, I know it came down to Cesaro and the Usos. I don't remember much that happened in the middle of it because there were so many people involved.
Yeah. And plus, once it got down to the Cesaro
and the Usos, that was a good tag match right there.
Yeah, it really was.
Which I was like, I actually thought the Usos were going to win it.
Yeah, so did I. I was a little upset because I was like, damn it. That ruins my streak I had going on up until.
No, I picked Raw. You didn't pick SmackDown. You picked SmackDown, so that would have kept your streak going.
For
the picks.
For which match? You talking about the tag team match?
You picked wrong on that. I picked right. I picked Raw. You picked SmackDown.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I was saying, I was pissed at the end because Raw won.
Oh, well, the way you said it, though, I said it looked like the Usos were going to win, and you're like, yeah, and I was pissed. I was like...
Yeah, because they lost.
Just, yeah. Well, no, just the way you said it, I thought you were pissed that they were going to win. I was like, why you picked that? No. So, moving on, like I said, I can't remember much of that match other than Kofi and the Fashion Police getting taken out right away. But, like I said, the tag match that ended up with Cesaro and Sheamus, and they need to come up with the names. We don't have to say Cesaro and Sheamus all the time. That's too many syllables. Versus the Usos was entertaining. I really, really like the Usos as heels.
Yeah.
I think they work so much better as heels.
They really do. I didn't think that they would because they were just kind of so... As colorful and as vibrant as they were as faces, they were still bland to me.
Wait, the Miz's match was against Kalisto? What the hell? Where's Dolph's freaking rematch?
I think he's going to be getting it at the pay-per-view.
And where has Dolph been? He wasn't even at Survivor Series last night.
You missed at the first half. Dolph super kicked Miz after he turned around. After something that they were doing in the ring. I forgot what.
Good.
Yeah, he caught that sweet chin music quick.
And I swear to God, though, if Sami Zayn doesn't show up for their match and cost Miz the belt, I'm going to be pissed. Because they are just squandering Sami Zayn.
They are.
It's so sad. Like, how is it that a guy is, like, kind of technically in the title picture, pre-brand split, and then when you have a brand split, and now we have four belts, and he's jobbing?
Yeah, to Braun Strowman.
The fuck did that happen?
Why is he putting Braun Strowman over? It's
ridiculous.
Yeah, Braun... Like, if you want to build up Braun, give him somebody else.
Have him beat the shit out of Roman Reigns, because everyone wants to see that. I guarantee you, you're going to get the loudest pops.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. But, okay, moving on. The women's match. Again, not surprised by the outcome, because... No, you called that. I didn't call it.
I did.
That was kind of my dark horse. That was me to mix it up kind of thing. But I really thought that the women might go over just because the stronger women's division is on Raw. But so, again, bad booking, guys, to make the women's division on SmackDown look stronger, have them go over.
Yeah.
That would have been the better booking decision. Which, I got to wonder if, like, the Raw writers were the ones booking this.
It kind of felt like it. Though I will ask you this. Nikki Bella was not in the match because she was jumped before the match. Who do you think did it? I think it was Natty.
It should be Natty. If it's anybody but Natty, it's stupid. Yeah.
I think it was Natty. She's the obvious choice.
I will settle right for there. Carmella.
Yeah.
But it should be Natty.
Yeah. It should be Natty. I might even be okay with it being Charlotte that did that. But, you know, that wouldn't really make sense.
It wouldn't make sense because they're not feuding. They've never feuded, and they won't feud because they're not going to be on the same show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be really, really dumb.
Yeah, it'd be a waste.
So, yeah, just the booking decisions for this show have been terrible. So, the match, Nia Jax gets eliminated by Becky. She made Nia Jax tap out, which did make Becky look strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Nia jumped Becky and Alexa, which then gives
Alexa Bayley got distracted, too.
Yeah.
That annoyed me.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, again, Alexa's supposed to be your number one contender on SmackDown. You got to make her look strong, which is why I thought she would win it for the women. Just because, again, it'd make her look strong. It'd make her and Becky's upcoming title match even better.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, I totally agree. But like I was saying... last week, when I made the pick, it just seems like to me the WWE is focusing more on the Raw women's division than they are on the SmackDown.
Which is dumb,
but especially since the SmackDown women's division honestly is more entertaining.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's way more.
Because like I said, I'm bored with Charlotte and Sasha. I'm bored with it now. Like, we saw it forever in NXT. It felt like.
Yeah.
And we've seen it for over a year now, about a year and a half now on Raw. Because, yeah, you could say, like, oh, well, there was, like, Paige and blah, blah, blah. But it was always the focus was on Charlotte and Sasha. And it's just, ugh. Actually, no, because they weren't teamed up. They were, again, on opposite sides. One was face, one was heel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just kind of like, ugh, this again. Where the fresh feud is Becky and Alexa. And then it looked like we were going to get a Bayley-Charlotte feud because Bayley gets the quick Bayley-to-belly suplex on Becky to win it. And instead of celebrating, Charlotte jumps her. And then right away last night on Raw, it's Sasha and Charlotte again.
It was, but it seems like they also shifted that to Sasha and Nia. Because remember,
yeah, but remember, Sasha's still getting her title shot on Sunday or on Monday.
Yeah, she's still.
So yeah, so it's still
I feel like what's going to happen is they're good. I mean, this is the slow brush off at this point, and I feel like they're going to switch it over to Sasha versus Nia and get Bayley into the title picture because I remember hearing that they're trying to get her in the title picture faster.
I'd like to believe you, but seriously. Pretty much every booking decision Raw has made, for the most part, with the exception of Finn Balor actually winning the title, has kind of been terrible. It's been very predictable and safe.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't think they have the faith in Bayley. Really don't. So, I mean, we'll have to wait and see, but what I like about SmackDown is SmackDown seems to be more liberal and more unpredictable.
Yes. Though, what the hell? Oh,
Kalisto is now jumping Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I don't care about Baron Corbin or this feud.
You know, if this feud was for a belt, you know, a David versus Goliath thing, I might care about it because there's no real motivation for Baron Corbin.
Except for the fact that he's a dick.
Yeah, to beat up Kalisto.
That's it. He's being a dick. He's like, oh, look, you're smaller than me. I'm going to bully you, even though we have this anti-bullying pamphlet.
I know, and it doesn't make Baron Corbin look strong at all.
It just makes him look like a fucking dick.
And it makes him look weak when Kalisto's standing over him right now.
Yeah, in red.
Yeah.
Because Kane is doing his little...
But I really think they're trying to turn Kalisto into Rey Mysterio.
Probably. His mask looks close enough.
His mask is more like Ultimo.
Though, that reminded me... Freaking, and we both, I feel like we both missed this, but I did hear the commentary. Did you realize that fucking Cesaro last night, or not last night, on Sunday, threw out a freaking 619?
I missed it because I was, I had like gotten up to get something. I heard the announcer say
it. Yeah, I heard announcer say it, but I just brushed it off. But then I saw the replay, I was like, oh, holy crap, he threw out a 619. And they called it. I was like, oh my goodness. It looks so weird coming out of Kalisto because... Not Kalisto, out of...
Because he's big?
Cesaro, because he's way
bigger. Oh, Van Daminator!
Good.
Kalisto just knocked out the Van Daminator on Baron Corbin.
Such a little man.
And I think they are turning into like Rey Mysterio 2.0.
Okay, yeah.
So that brings us to probably the most entertaining match of the night, the men's SmackDown vs. Raw Survivor Series, which we both called for... Oh, no, we both got that wrong, because we both called Raw, and it SmackDown.
Oh, right? Yeah.
All
right.
But see, it would have worked out better. Well, we both kind of had to call it that way, because we both picked a SmackDown, we both picked the Raw, because we thought, you know, it would come down to the end.
Yeah.
Which they didn't, which almost kind of made the last match feel anticlimactic, because we thought, you know, it was kind of billed as like a best of three series, you know?
Yeah.
And it comes down to Raw takes the first two. So in the end, even going into it, it's like, there's no way Raw gets a clean sweep. Yeah. Though it looked like they were going to because fucking Reigns started Supermaning it up.
Yeah.
God, that was annoying. And I'll tell you one thing, though. Had freaking, had Reigns bowled through, Orton and, Bray Wyatt, like I thought he was going to, this podcast would be over. Because I'd be done. I'm like, you know what? Fuck the WWE. I'm out. Or it might just become a SmackDown podcast. Because I'd be done with Raw completely until Finn got back. I was like, I'm fucking out. I'm out, people. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, that would have been very annoying. I was happy that the Wyatts won.
Yeah, but overall, that match was great. It had... Because my number one favorite RKO will always be the WrestleMania 31. I'm sorry. 31, because this was 32 this year.
Yeah.
I hate that they stopped numbering it, because now I'm confused. But the one out in California, Orton versus Seth, where he's going for the curb stomp, and he just pops up way up there and catches that. That's the greatest RKO ever. However, that one literally out of nowhere, off camera, on Strowman, where you just see Strowman's
onto the
back,
table.
Onto the table that didn't break, was fantastic. And then Seth going for the frog splash on Bray, and freaking Orton just coming out of nowhere again, hitting the RKO.
Well, of course, you know what, though? And I haven't looked it up yet, but you know, Sean's of the age where he watches enough to where he can remember it, so he's probably right. Apparently, Orton did that to Christian when he did the frog splash,
probably,
too.
Sean watches enough of the WWE Network to where he probably knows all that stuff.
Yeah. So it's probably fresher in his mind. I feel like I might have seen that. It might have been during that one more match period
probably.
For Christian.
Oh, actually, it was. I do remember that actually.
Okay.
And I can tell you it was the turnbuckle. It was the corner. It was the right. If you're looking at the screen, the right side closest to the camera. That's the one he hit him off of. I remember that actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
So yeah, those were fantastic RKOs, especially the one coming from off camera. I believe I screamed, "Oh my god!" Like Joey Styles.
That was almost like a jump scare to both of us, just because we didn't see it coming, and then he hits it, and it was loud too when they hit that table.
Well, yeah, he had like a huge bruise on his upper thigh from that table.
Like I said, when Orton's working heel-ish, because I don't think he's a real heel right now. I think he's just luring the Wyatts into a false insecurity.
Yeah.
But when he's working heel-ish, I'm more entertained by him. Mm-hmm. Than anything. And while we're on the subject of Orton, when Shane McMahon got concussed, then we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Because we're going to try to go with this in order. Orton went right over to Shane's son and wife to say he's okay, blah, 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 and to comfort them. Which is cool. Like, I've told you, I think I've said it before on this podcast, you know, when I got to meet Randy Orton in person with my son Sean and a couple of his friends, Orton was just the nicest guy. Like, there was this kid towards the back of the line in a wheelchair, and Orton was up on a stage because it was at a convention. Mm. Orton got down off the stage, walked over to the kid, signed all of his stuff because it was like one item per person. I think this kid had like four items. Mm. Orton signed all four of them for the kid and like spent a few extra minutes with the kid in the wheelchair and stuff like that. And I was like, that's a class act by Orton.
Oh, yeah,
and
exactly. Yeah.
When we got up there, Randy is just talking away with the kids. Sean and Landon especially had a ton of questions for him. Randy's answering all of them with a smile on his face and like a genuine smile. Like he's enjoying himself. Not like I'm being forced to do this because I'm a top draw.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, Randy enjoyed being there doing it. And after all the boys were done signing, I just shook his hands like, hey, thank you for being like so sweet to the kids. Like, oh no, man, I enjoy it. I love doing this. And so like I said, like, there was a lot of stories about Randy, especially early on in his career, and they may be true, they may not be true, but I think if they are true, he kind of turned a corner at some point, and he kind of realizes, because you know, like that old Charles Barkley commercial, like, I didn't sign up to be a role model, and a lot of athletes say they're not athletes to be role models and stuff like that, though, when you're in the public eye and you're playing a game.
Yeah,
because
Odell Beckham definitely ain't no damn role model.
But I think when you sign up to be a wrestler, especially when you're a face, you do sign up to be a role model of sorts. Because let's face it, I mean, especially in the PG era, and I, you know, the Attitude Era was a little bit racy, but wrestling has always been something for the kids. Like, I mean, let's face it, all of us talking and listening to this podcast, we all got into it when we were kids.
Yeah. I mean, the Attitude Era, I will say, that was the product of the time anyway.
Yeah, that was a product of the time because everything was extreme because it was the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
But you know, it's just one of those things. It's like wrestling, when you boil it down to its smallest thing, it's entertainment. It's entertainment for kids because it's basically real-life superheroes.
Yes.
It's what it breaks down to.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. That's why they're based off the strong men. And they're, like, original wrestlers had the same look as, like, Superman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The tights and stuff like that, just like the strong men. Yeah. And that's all based off the same thing. So, I mean, but wrestling is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, quick side note, though. I was watching the network the other day. One of their documentaries I don't remember watching was The History of the World Heavyweight Title.
I haven't seen that one.
It's, honestly, if you are ever curious about the history of pro wrestling dating back as far as you can go, that's the one you want to watch. I wish I actually knew about that particular documentary back when I was in college, because, you know, being the kind of fan that I am, I had a couple of classes where I just wrote papers about professional wrestling because it met the criteria. That's nice. met the criteria, and I could have definitely used that. So definitely, if you're ever curious about the beginnings, that's one to watch.
Right. Again, off topic. So
sorry.
Well, we'll talk about, since we were just talking about the huge spot by Roman Reigns and Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon going for the Van Terminator.
You know, I thought Roman Reigns was the one that got hurt.
Well, Shane, I think, took the brunt of it, but yeah. I think Roman got his bell rung, too, because he looked out of it, and everyone was confused because Shane kicked out, and I think basically Shane was so out of it. Well, he might have supposed to have kicked out of that originally, but I think he was so out of it, it was just instinct. He just kicked out. He heard the two, and he kicked out. Mm-hmm. But I do like how the ref said it was a three and, you know, basically get him out of here kind of thing.
Yeah, because like he because from what I read up on it a little bit more, they were saying that it seemed like he was out, and it was just all instinct at that point.
I think that might have been Shane's last match.
It's like no one was home.
Yeah,
he took that hard. Like I saw the a clip of it, and it looked way harder than I originally thought it was, and especially with Roman going like completely vertical, looking like he got a stinger. That's what added to the confusion there for me, anyway. It was I said, I just couldn't tell who was hurt, so I was kind of surprised when they carted Shane off.
Yeah, so that was a big spot. We mentioned the different RKOs, but Shane's elbow to Braun Strowman.
I'm sure that didn't help him getting hurt either.
No. It was a good match. Like it was long. It was like an hour long, but it was entertaining. It was filled with spots.
Oh, I think
there was so many people involved. Ellsworth like costing Strowman a chance to get back in the ring was hilarious.
Yeah, that was freaking great. Like he has his moments, but I wish they would use him sparingly, because he's been oversaturated to me.
Yeah.
Because I actually thought he was pretty funny, and I thought he could be funny as like somebody's sidekick. But right now, I feel like they're using him a lot. Like, right now, he's actually wrestling. I forgot. He's got a ladder match with AJ Styles with his contract on the line. And if he wins, which he probably will, because it's already written that he's actually gotten a contract. If he wins, he gets a future title shot. He's not going to win it. He's not going to win that title shot, but he's probably going to win this match.
Yeah, so... That was fantastic, that men's Raw match. And then we'll move on because we're running short on time. Goldberg-Brock, we already talked about it at the top of the podcast.
Well, it's a good thing it was a short match, too.
It was a squash match. It was a lot of fun, though. And Dean Ambrose showed up dressed as a hockey player now for this ladder match.
Yep.
Apparently he's the goon now. He's just...
There, tee it off.
Yep. Him and AJ. I thought their feud was going to be over. But apparently not.
Well, I mean, they still haven't had their blow-off match.
That's true.
Yeah, they haven't had their TLC match. So we got, what, 2 more weeks of that? And then...
Which is next? TLC or
TLC,
Roadblock?
I believe TLC is next, I think. I thought it was next. We might have to look that up.
I think it is TLC because they just announced Roadblock. Roadblock. It was last night, so that would probably be in a month.
It was December or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was the 12th or the 2nd. Ooh.
Yeah, 4-on-1 by AJ to Dean. James Ellsworth didn't wake up quick enough.
Oh, James, what are you doing? You know, besides, you know, being yourself.
No one wants to see James Ellsworth win this match. No one. Not even James Ellsworth's parents.
Aww.
Oh, and this also kind of, I was reading something today, this has nothing to do, like, I read this and it said nothing to do with James Ellsworth, I was just reading this article on Evolution. Man evolved a chin. James Ellsworth doesn't have a chin. So he's a Neanderthal or some
cool.
Shit.
Yeah. Oh, shit! AJ's dead.
AJ with another horrific bump, because last night when Braun threw him over
the rope, okay,
that was a horrific bump.
Because he... like flailed and spun.
Yeah.
And it was just not a good bump to the outside.
No, I'm thinking, yeah, because that's a shorter ladder than they normally have for ladder matches.
Yeah. Yeah, because normally it's a 20-foot. That
yeah,
does not
look like a 15.
Yeah.
Why are people chanting yes? And why isn't he climbing up the ladder?
Because he's too busy doing his taunt. Oh! And a super kick to AJ Styles trying to get back in
there. His foot caught.
Shades of Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania
10.
10.
You know what would be great right now? What's is it freaking, actually, JBL should run up there and push it over. No!
I am a wrestling god. He can't, he's not even trying to, he had to use his body weight to take the damn contract off. All right,
Jeff Hardy, calm down. So James Ellsworth is the newest member of the SmackDown roster.
Any man that has two fists.
They just showed a child, and the child looks so shocked and disappointed. Just like, no.
Did they really show a child?
Yeah, he was just like. Like, the kid was like, this guy won? This guy is no bigger than my 12-year-old brother.
I want to know who made the creator wrestler of James Ellsworth on SmackDown. Not SmackDown, WWE 2K17. Oh, man.
But I think on that note is where we're going to end this podcast. So everybody have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Also, if you're watching this on the YouTube channel or if you're just listening to the podcast, check out our podcast next week because it'll be our special Black Friday thing where Nelson and I go out all night and do nothing but drink coffee and people watch and maybe get a few deals and then record the podcast delirious on sleep. So it's always fun because we never remember what we say during it.
Yes.
So, good night, Canada.
Indeed.